You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am Janie Beauclair.
And I'm Tony St. Tone.
And hey, we're welcoming our friends and our family. And if you are a first-time listener to our show, we're happy to have you. We are a feel-good show shouting out some good news from around the world. And you can expect some great positive music by St. Tone, as well as some great innovative guests every week. And see what's going on around the USA with our events calendar.
So today's guest, we have Lori Neville from Pay It Forward for a Better LA.
And, among 14 other businesses and charities that she does. Lori's an amazing girl. We met Lori at an event for Jules. It was the Wolf Foundation.
Jules Stewart.
It was an art show.
Yep.
And it was a fabulous weekend, and we met Lori there. And little did we know that later on in life, we would have the privilege of doing an interview with her.
Yeah, and we're going to be doing a show with her also on December 18th.
Right.
So we'll let her talk all about that and her charity that she is putting together. So really some really great stuff. So before we do that, let's get into...
What have we been doing this week?
Well, I got to be a strolling musician for the second time in my career, which is very, very interesting, at an assistant living home called Royal Gardens for Spirit of Music. And basically what I do is I just show up while all the elderly people are eating dinner, and I grab my acoustic guitar without any amplification. I just stroll around and sing songs. And it's really, really interesting. I had never done it before, so... this was the second time for me to do it.
And clarify that. You're talking about what you've never done is stroll around a room and play
exactly.
In between tables. For those of you who are new to the show, you've actually been performing for 30 years now.
Yes.
So you know
and
how
I've
to
done,
play the guitar. It's just this is a new element.
I've done every gig you can imagine. So this was just another little notch in my guitar neck. But it was really cool to see people's reactions again. You know, a lot of these people... They're very old. I mean, we have a couple of women that are 102 there.
Yeah.
But just to see them react to
they
different
love
songs.
Music.
And they were reacting also to original songs that I've written called Lullaby or Best Case Scenario.
Yeah.
So it's really cool just to see them
it
just react to music.
Life.
Yeah. Yeah. They were definitely picking up on the energy that I was putting out. So
it's a beautiful thing. And it's fabulous that the nursing home works with the Spirit of Music Foundation in order to bring people those kinds of daily relief and release and that beautiful music.
Yeah, it's an awesome thing to be part of. But let's get right into our show. Well, when you hear that sound, you know it is time for our quote of the week.
Life is a dream for the wise, a game for the fool, a comedy for the rich, and a tragedy for the poor. Life is a dream for the wise, a game for the fool, a comedy for the rich, and a tragedy for the poor. That is a pretty interesting saying. When you think about it, a comedy for the rich and a tragedy for the poor, that's pretty self-explanatory.
Sure.
Okay. A game for the fool, a fool plays games, meaning they wouldn't take their life seriously.
Right. They just play along as if it's just some crazy... Life's a big game.
And it's a dream for the wise. If you're a wise investor, if you're wise about some knowledge you have that makes you wealthy, it's a dream for the wise, a game for the fool, a comedy for the rich, and a tragedy for the poor. USALuxuryDirect.com. Luxury goods to your doorstep. Get name brands like Waterford Crystal, Kate Spade, Swarovski Crystal. A variety of luxury items straight to your doorstep. Get ready for the holiday season. Go to USALuxuryDirect.com. So we want to thank our sponsor, USA Luxury Direct. As you know, this show is run strictly on donations, and we appreciate them supporting our cause and helping us shout out some good news around the world. If you have a chance, go check out USALuxuryDirect.com and put in the code word Humanitarian Radio, and they'll give you an extra discount. Do you have a great idea for a product and you don't know how to get it made? call Artistic Journey. They'll help you find your way to getting your new products made and into the marketplace. Need a free consultation? No problem. Need artwork and graphics? No problem. Need your idea turned into something wonderful that the whole world can use? Call Janie at Artistic Journey to help you get through this process. It's not as hard as you think. With 20 years of experience, Artistic Journey can pave the way for your product to get into the hands of people around the world. Call Artistic Journey today, 941-780-2538.
So it's time for some good news from around the world.
So, you know, I like to focus on, not necessarily focus, but showcase people that are doing really good things. And I particularly like to show when a celebrity is doing something good, because all we really ever see in the news and on the radio and that are the bad things that celebrities do, and they're always in trouble. So I am going to tell another beautiful story about a great thing that someone did, and I consider him a celebrity because of his status. His name is Mark Zuckerberg. He's an American. He started Facebook. And
he's a multi-billionaire, too.
He is, absolutely. Well, he and his wife just had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Max. And they decided that as a beautiful gesture for the birth of their daughter, that they're going to donate 99% of their shares of Facebook stock to charity. That stock is currently worth $45 billion.
Yeah.
And they've decided that within the next several months, they're going to donate the money. So this is what they're saying. In announcing their daughter's birth on December 1st, the Zuckerbergs have decided to donate $45 billion worth to promote equality and the human potential. So what they're looking to do is create a generation of advanced human potential and promote equality by curing disease, personalizing learning methods, harnessing clean energy, connecting people, building strong communities, reducing poverty, providing equal rights, and spreading understanding across the nations.
You know, with $45 billion, I think with a billion, you can leave 43 in the bank. You can really put a good dent in all those things.
I would say if he's willing to give out that much, he should just go for it.
I think it's fantastic that a guy with that much wealth, and you know, they had talked about also that they're a couple of the other multi-billionaires are very big into philanthropy. So Bill Gates is another one who does similar things. And I think it's great. I mean, these guys reach a point, and I think what happened with the Zuckermans is that they finally had a child and they said, hey, you know, what are we leaving for our child?
Well, they left a letter for the daughter. And it says, it's a letter to our daughter. Dear Max, your mother and I don't quite have the words to describe the hope you give us for the future. Your new life is full of promise, and we hope you will be happy and healthy so you can explore it fully. They're saying they're trying to create a new generation for her generation.
Sure.
And there are something like 67,000 charities involved here. 67,000.
Yeah.
And a variety are to cure disease, because what they would like to see is the possibility of their children not being subjected to disease. So I think it's a really cool thing. Congratulations to the Zuckerberg family for their child birth, but also for being very forward thinkers, not being afraid to stand out in front of the pack, and really doing a huge thing for the face of humanity. And this next story we have is another story from the United States. This one is from the state of Ohio. A young gentleman named Jeff Lewis, 22-year-old pizza delivery boy, got the surprise of his life last week. So Jeff comes into work early to make a mammoth delivery of multiple pizzas. The boss called him and said, hey, can you come in a little bit earlier and help us out? And he didn't really want to, but he chose to do that anyway and help everybody out. He fills his car up full of all the pizzas they ordered, and he gets to the church. The people in the church greet him and say, hey, would you bring one pizza up to the pastor? He's up on the stage. And the kid Jeff thinks, well, that's kind of weird. You got like 100 other pizzas here. Why do you just want me to carry one pizza to the pastor on the stage? Well, before the kid showed up, the pastor was having a session with his his people in his congregation, and he says to them, let's make the day of the pizza delivery boy when he gets here, and let's each give him a tip. And so they all agreed. So this gentleman, Jeff, walks in with his one pizza as instructed. He goes to on the stage, and the pastor says, come on up here. I want to give you a tip. And one by one, all 700 people got up and got in a line, and they each gave him $1. And he walked out of there with a $700 tip.
Oh, my God.
Now, here's the beautiful part of this story.
And he's like, yeah.
There's a YouTube
praise
clip,
and the
he's
Lord.
Crying his eyes out, by the way. Well, here's the backside of what you don't know and why doing beautiful things to pay it forward are so important in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman has been struggling with addiction and has been struggling to stay sober for quite some time at 22 years old. And he has climbed his way out of addiction and is now trying to start his life over. And this is his first job in his new life. So bravo to the guy. He's changing his ways. He's changing his life. He's graduated his rehab. He's got his first job. And now he has the money to be able to go and get himself an apartment. And he is crying his eyes out in the video saying, wow, you so restored my faith in humanity. Because I thought I was going to have to struggle my way back to being a human.
Sure,
and
sure.
And here in one day of...
One day, one delivery.
Because he went in early. Because he agreed when the boss said, can you come in early and help us out? He said yes. And so, you know, you pay that stuff forward, it comes back around, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. So I think this was a fabulous story, and I really want to encourage you guys, as we always do, do something really nice for a complete stranger. You have no idea what it will do to change their life.
And all you have to do is just be in line at a grocery store and pay for the person in front of you. Or if you're at a toll booth, I'm not sure if there's toll booths anymore around here. Not in California, but there are toll booths out there across the country still. But, you know, things like that, little gestures like that where you have no idea, just doing that,
yeah.
Paying for someone's not groceries, but here, put an extra $5 on that person's groceries.
I was, I have the pleasure of hanging out on Rodeo Drive these days with Mrs. Santa Claus and her partner Santa. And I had a young lady say to me today, every day that I'm alive, I find one stranger on the sidewalk to smile at.
Hmm.
She does a lot of walking around town.
Sure.
She walks from where she lives to where she works and all that. And that's what she says. She says, every day that I'm alive, I find one stranger to smile at.
Older woman or younger?
She's in her 80s, actually.
80s.
Yep.
That's great.
And I said to her, what a beautiful thing. I said, I have a tendency to hug complete strangers. And I said, it always gets the most beautiful reaction. And what I love the most about it is the feeling that I get when I'm giving. So and she understood that totally. And I want to talk about this type of stuff, particularly because our guest today has some really, really cool things to tell us about.
Yeah, and it's Lori, and she's all about paying it forward, and she has done so much in her life.
Amazing woman. If we could all be like her, there'd be nothing wrong in this world.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a very short break, mm-hmm. and we're going to get into the interview.
Perfect.
So we'll be right back.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
We can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes.
We choose to end.
For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Here are some events that may be happening in your area. Check out events calendar on humanitarianradio.com. December 11th to the 13th is the Green Sustainability Expo in Portland, Oregon. December 17th to the 20th, Awakening Your Higher Crystalline Senses, Tucson, Arizona. December 17th to the 23rd, Insight Meditation Solstice Retreat, Woodacre, California. December 29th, January 2nd, Renew, Relax, Recharge Spiritual Retreat, Nevada City, California. If you're looking for something to do and you want to plan ahead to a vacation, we have events all the way through May of 2016 on our events calendar. So feel free to join us. And if you know of something we should be posting, please let us know on humanitarianradio.com.
Okay, and we're back with Lori Neville from Pay It Forward for a Better LA. How are you doing today, Lori?
I'm doing great, and you?
I am doing fantastic. You know, I've gotten a chance to do a little study on you as far as your past, and you have done some incredible things. It said here in your bio that you've always wanted to help people out, and it seems like you've been able to achieve that over the years because seeing some of the people that you helped and the toys that you've collected and the variety of different charities that you've been involved in. Tell us, you know, how did you start getting involved in this? I mean, you said it was something that started off very early on.
Like, were you 5 years old and you were collecting sneakers for the kid next door?
You
or
know,
what?
I have to say that probably my grandmother was very influential at this. She had seven kids, five of which were older, and then she had my dad and his little brother. So I was like the first of the second set of grandchildren. And she always said, if you help the people, you know, that are less fortunate, you know, things will be better. And I mean, it always stuck with me. It's not about you. It's about, you know, others and helping others because others don't have, you know, the opportunities that maybe you do have. Go to school, you know, stay out of trouble, which I did. And I just kind of rolled into it. And that's where I've kind of always put my life. I mean, I would rather reach out to somebody and give them the shirt off my back. And it's not because I'm a saint. But because, you know what, at some point, if maybe one of my kids or somebody else was out there without it, I would assume that I would hope that somebody else would do the same thing.
Right, right, right. So talk about
That's
some of the things
that
I was going to say, talk about some of the things that you have done so that we can let everybody know about the toys and the things Tony was just talking about. So why don't you give
we're launching next month, which I'm very proud to announce, Pay It Forward for a Better LA. And it's going to basically sit on top of a lot of things that we've done over the last 15, 20 years. I was fortunate enough to be with a foundation that we started 12 years ago, Motor for Toys. We started out in a little coffee shop, and we collected 500 toys the first year, and we were thrilled. Up till last year, we were at almost 60,000 toys.
Wow.
That is an amazing amount of growth.
And one thing that I was always very proud about is we're not like the big conglomerate. We have the shows. We make sure the toys go into the hands of kids.
That's a beautiful thing.
We don't send them to agencies. We don't, yes. So, I mean, it's a lot of work between the show, which is this Sunday, in the Warner Center in Woodland Hills. And then we'll deliver, and our last big event will be Christmas morning at the Midnight Mission, which will hand out 10,000 toys.
Wow, that's huge.
Tell us a little bit more about the show this Sunday. Actually, which is today.
The show this Sunday basically is all the car guys that get together, all the dealers that get together. I've been fortunate since I was 17. I went to work for Cadillac while I was going to school. I stayed in the automotive field. I have a custom auto shop. And those are the kind of guys that, you know what, they just like to help each other. You can't ask for a better bunch of guys. Dustin Troyan is the president of Motor for Toys, and Kathleen, myself, and the whole car community. And we rolled it, you know, from there into helping, you know, two or three different associations that are out there. So I think year before last, I think there was almost 43 associations we were able to help.
Wow.
We try to help Petra down at the beach. She takes in all the kids between 14 and 18 at Key Harbor, which they do a great job down there.
It's amazing that you're able to spread it around so much, you know. Usually when people do these types of events, they dump it all in one place.
Good donations. We've gone to a lot of the toy companies. We've even gone to the toy companies downtown. And you tell them what it's for, and there's a sporting equipment company in Dallas, which I bought from in Texas for 10 years. anything they have in their catalog, football, soccer balls, basketball, they send you four for one. You buy one, they're going to send you four. So you have to blow them up and bag them. Big deal.
Yeah.
We have such a community and so many helpers around that it's not a big deal.
Sure.
We have Norm Harris of Norm's Rare Guitar. He always comes out to the mission. He's a big supporter of buying a lot of the sporting equipment. And if he gives away guitars that morning, if he really feels these kids that come in will actually have, you know, music in their life, which is a great thing.
That's an awesome thing. I obviously can very much relate to that being a musician. So,
yeah. And with the Pay It the New charity, we have Juggle the World coming on, which he's setting up different lots he's finding in bad areas so kids can learn to play soccer and be safe. We are going to collect new and used sporting good equipment that people just don't want anymore. There's plenty of places for them. I'm going to incorporate what a great association bookend, which closed last year after 15 years. They collect new and used children's books and put them in the hands of the kids that didn't have any. And it's amazing that when you hand these kids books and you let them take them home, that you would think it was Christmas every day.
Well, yeah, right. Well, you know, that's the thing that when they're not exposed to it and they don't take it for granted, they go, wow, I get something.
Well, and everybody thinks that everybody has an iPad. They have a computer. They have an iPhone. It's not true. Mm-hmm. You're lucky if 10 to 12% of the higher end kids have this kind of stuff. And one program that bookends had is they would go into better schools, let the kids have book drives and let those kids take them to kids that had nothing.
Oh,
and
gosh.
If you could see the look on the kids' faces that had everything, including my niece and nephew, which I take every year with me, which they just turned 14 and 16, they said, we didn't realize that kids don't have everything.
Yeah,
wow, see that?
But they need to see it. And it makes those kids feel wanted. It makes those kids become, their big thing was, and it was put on by Robin Keefe, her big thing was creating leaders and readers.
Hmm.
I mean, if we don't have education, and, you know, the California says, you know, no kid left behind, but they're passing them with failing grades.
Yeah.
How do you get in college with B's?
Yeah, how's that going to help them out?
Yeah. So when I got the opportunity to take over, and I'm sure that Larry Adamson of the Midnight Mission, who's the CEO, thought I was crazy. I said, I want the library. And I want the two rooms in behind it, and we'll cut doorways, and this is what I'd like to do. I said, even the 500 guys that you house, that are trying to be better. They can go in and read. We put in encyclopedias. We put in a teen room because there's a lot of teen centers around there, but the teens have no place to go. Mm-hmm. We put in a kids room. Anything from newborn on up, if you know you have kids that are coming to visit you there, they have a place to go play.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the youth centers that are around there have very, very little. Come over to the mission. Have a field trip. Take the books for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just want you to read.
That's a beautiful thing. You know, it's so important.
We put in computers there so they'll be able to, you know, to go on and they'll monitor it to go on, you know, the internet, you know, so they can look things up. They can look for jobs, you know, how to apply for a job.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's basically building a lot of self-esteem. And that's basically the core where I always try to start when you help somebody.
See,
you can do it.
Will you be having an alumni type program? You were saying earlier that you had a number of women come up to you just recently who you've helped out in the past. Tell us that story again, if you can.
It was, you know, it's very touching. I was in the library at the Midnight Mission about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and two ladies had walked in, and they said, do you remember me? And I had to come out and say, I don't remember you, but if you tell me where I remember you from, because I see so many people during the day, I will remember. And they said a few things. They said, 2 years ago, you let us come off the streets and help you hand out toys. And then she said, and last year, I said, wait, I remember. I said, what did I tell you? She says, to go out because I was a cosmetologist, you know, doing hair and stuff. She said, I come back, my friend and I, 2 days a week. We do hair at the mission for free for the women that want to try to go out and get jobs and feel better about themselves. And she said, there's 8 to 10 ladies that are going to walk in behind that we did what you told us to do. You pay it forward, get them off the street, and here they came. So it was touching to me that they would even come back and look for me to tell me thank you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I said, if you could help 8 women, I said, in 2 or 3 weeks, I said, everybody needs to take one more person on.
Yep.
I mean, at any given time, in that 14 to 16 block radius in Skid Row, and the number flabbergasted me. There's 50 to 55,000 homeless people on the streets.
Yeah. Wow. Now, granted, and I heard that number recently, and I was blown away by that.
They don't want better, but there's a lot of them on the streets that want better that don't know how to get better.
Yeah.
So if somebody would put out a hand, and we're not talking about a handout.
Mm-hmm. A handout.
We're talking about you're willing to work, you're willing to clean yourself up, you're willing to get a job. And you know what? Even if it's a minuscule job. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll have the title of CEO of this new charity, but I'd rather be, you know, in the middle of the pile, you know, sorting books or sorting clothes or sorting sporting goods equipment and seeing how we're going to make this work.
Right, right, right. And, you know, the hands-on is what has made you so successful all this time, you know,
yes,
because you are hands-on. Because if you were sitting behind a desk, you wouldn't be as productive as you've been able to be your life.
I can't sit behind the desk. I need to be right in the middle of things. We're going to try to do two big events this year, which we're going to try to go back to do a run walk, which we did 2 years ago for Bookin, which they said that was the hardest event to put on. Granted, it was, but it was very successful because the areas that we had it in, we got the community together. You had free advertising. What that brought to all the schools and what that brought to the businesses around, It was phenomenal. Because everybody's willing to do some advertising. It's a third of what you're paying in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see that you're helping kids and you see that you're helping your community, that's what people seem to want.
It's a win-win. Yeah. Yeah.
I think...
It's, you know, when all of a sudden somebody gives up, and you know what? I consider if you've tried and it doesn't work, that is not a failure. It's
no.
A failure when you sit back and you say, I can't do it.
And you don't try. Exactly. Exactly. We feel the same way. Exactly. Put some effort into it. We'll help you 1,000% and we'll back you, you know, with all the words you need and the connections you need and all of that. But if you're not willing to put any effort forward, why should others want to?
The more people, and my thing has been the last 4 or 5 years, and I'm going to do it with my own charity, is I don't quite understand why charities don't want to work together. I mean, I do and I don't. Everybody wants the money for themselves. But isn't nonprofit charity to help everybody?
Exactly.
And I think that we've got away from that. I mean, I saw yesterday there were 6 other charities being investigated, 2 car loans that they were giving away cars, and they were lucky if they were giving 3% back because they had such an overhead. Huh. I would rather team up with 3 or 4 or 5 charities. I don't care if they do the same thing or different things,
right.
But you bring everything together and the resources are astronomical.
Absolutely.
I'm going to bring CIP back in, Zachary Scott, who runs part of a violence intervention program. They do great things for kids.
Mm-hmm.
They try to stop the violence in the homes and on the streets and this and that. You know, we're delivering a ton of books down to them and toys for their big Christmas event.
Excellent.
You know, I want to, you know, do the same thing with music and you guys. And we're going to do stuff with sporting goods, with Juggle the World. You know, just to try to tell kids that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're low income, you're poverty. You know, it doesn't matter.
You know, it's...
You may never be rich, but you know what? My father tells me that all the time. With all the stuff you do for charity and you have to work 2 jobs, I said, yeah, but Dad, I sleep at night.
Yeah.
This is what I decided, the reason I was put here.
Right, right, right.
I feel good when I do this. I said, we never went out without anything for kids. I said, my dad worked for the union and I have great parents. But you know what? We never went without anything.
Mm-hmm.
Were we rich? No. But you had 2 parents, which most kids don't have anymore.
Yeah.
We had shoes and socks. We had dinner on the table, and we were brought up with respect.
Right, right. And I got to say that when you're doing things like this where you're even touching a child's life in a very small way, like giving them books, which is a very, you know, minuscule way in our eyes.
That you take these books to,
mm-hmm.
and you're not only filling the school library, but you're filling maybe the home library.
Right.
Or, you know, we did the Ronald McDonald House, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
They were just putting in a sports court.
Mm-hmm.
And we took all the sporting equipment to them. It was
Excellent.
Like night and day.
Yeah, and you're changing their life forever, even though it might be only one time that they got one teddy bear from you on one Christmas when they were little. These kind of things stick with...
What I want to try to push them is, if I help you, I want you to put your hand out.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Now, there's a good chance that hand may be slapped a few times, but let me tell you. I mean, my little niece, fortunately, is a spitting image of me. She's 14. And she kept saying, you help it. I said, Jessica, one thing you need to remember is you continue to put your hand out. But when people just keep taking, then you move on.
Yep.
I said, you want to help people that want to help themselves and that's willing to not just take, but to give back.
Yes, exactly.
And it took a lot for the kids. The first year I took them to the mission, I think that there might have been, I don't know, 5 or 6. And my little sister threw a fit. She says, I don't want them down there. I said, they need to see this.
Mm-hmm.
And they both came back and they said, can we spend all day here?
Yeah, the reality hit.
They said, do you know that those kids don't have anything? I said, yeah. And they said, and we have a home to go through. That one little kid lives in a box.
Yeah.
And I said, I didn't say it on purpose to make you guys feel bad. I was telling you guys the truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if we can start it younger and you can help these kids and you stop some of the violence in the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kids that are out on the street at 18 because they don't have an education, where do you go?
Everybody that does just small pieces and parts to change one life here and there, I mean, people don't get how much that adds up and how big of a difference on a whole it makes when you just take it upon yourself to do something.
I had to help a whole big, it had to be giant. I didn't do anything small. And I've had to decide the last couple of years, you know what, I need to scale that back. And if I can make a difference in one kid's life and 10 kids' life, you make the difference and you go on.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. We do a lot of stuff with the senior centers.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting in 21 libraries around the city. In some of the senior centers.
Nice.
We did one in Calabasas that was a retirement center. And all of a sudden, well, everybody knows everybody.
Huh.
You give them a common denominator.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very smart.
And it's not that they couldn't afford to do it, but you know what? They had old books in there. Nobody did everything. I said, come on, let me put all this stuff in there and everybody start talking or reading or doing this and that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you create an awareness for it. And I think that's the most important thing is creating an awareness because, unfortunately, we live in a society where the squeaky wheel gets the oil, and we are bombarded by so many things these days that it's refreshing to see someone like yourself come through and make some noise and make some chatter about what's going on
well,
as far as charities.
And the waste, I'm not going to mock anybody's nonprofit, but some of the waste that I see, if you can't use the product, work together with another charity.
Absolutely.
And they can use it. There should be no waste at all. There should be no homeless people on the street. Restaurants, grocery stores, this and that. They're more than willing to give you canned foods, this and that. If you can't use it, pass it on to somebody else.
Right, right.
Same thing with clothing, which we have no problem, collecting shoes and, clothing. You know, I clean out my closets all the time, and I've always given the stuff, not anymore to the Goodwill, but, to the Salvation Army or right down to the women's shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can wear it. It's good stuff. It's like brand new to them.
Yeah.
And at least they can go out and look presentable if they want to get a job or they want to help.
Exactly. We were working with a group called Safe Passage out of LA for a while. We still do stuff with them. But they help women and kids from domestic violence. And we were helping them to get clothing brought in for the women and the kids. And one of the conversations I had with one of the ladies there that was a recipient was, I've had the same dress on trying to get a job for the last 8 months, and it doesn't fit me anymore, doesn't look good, but it's all I have.
And you know how much clothing is just thrown away every day?
Yeah, yeah. And
due
so
to the
we
fact that people clean out their closets and they go, well, I don't want to take it to the Salvation Army, the Goodwill, or any place.
Yeah.
Let me just throw it.
There's so many places that can use it that are doing exactly that, helping people get jobs because they're able to dress the part. It's really an amazing thing. I'm from Florida myself, and there was in a town called Sarasota, and we had done a clothing drive there as well, and it was, it was right after Christmas, so it was like, get rid of your old stuff, replaced it with your new, let us take your old stuff. We ended up filling up 3 closets, they were called closets, they were big stores, full of clothing that they let all the inner city from teenage up to adult come and shop right after Christmas. And they ended up giving away something like 40,000 pieces of clothing as a result of a little drive after.
Which otherwise would hate somebody's closet or would go in the trash, and look how many people they help.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
I think it goes right back to self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel good about yourself and you can dress and somebody actually cared about you, you're willing to put yourself forward.
Exactly. And it makes a huge difference. And what we always say on here, Lori, is Pick something. It doesn't matter what it is. You don't have to start your own something. You can join someone else's something, but pick something.
Well, and
put yourself out there.
That's one reason I went with this umbrella of Pay It Forward. I don't care what you collect. I don't care if you're the Girl Scouts who come to me and say, hey, this is what I want to do. Fine. I'll make you a program. You want to collect clothes. You want to collect shoes. You want to give to the elderly. You want to do whatever. Do it for your community.
Right. Right. It's a win-win.
You know, one of the things that we talk about on this show is we find good stories around the world. And there was a country, and I don't remember exactly where it was, where they were making it a law now that large grocery stores can't throw away food anymore.
Yeah, it was like the Netherlands, somewhere in that region.
They have to give it to a charity.
That would be the best thing ever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And the one big problem, and I've gone into a lot of the grocery stores, with the fresh produce and that, their thing that they're worried about is getting sued.
Of course. But when that takes a bigger concern.
I got salmonella from a chicken. You know,
when that takes a bigger concern than the people who are starving, what a sad situation that is.
Yes, it is.
You know, when you're more afraid to be sued than you are to see this guy on the corner die.
Well, because the problem is, if you or I own the grocery store,
yeah,
the court's going to upheld, oh, look, they got sick of that. Oh, yeah, give them $10 million. Now, you and I are out of business. For what? Trying to help somebody?
Yeah.
Exactly. But somehow, I think it might be France, and I'm not sure exactly, but it's somewhere in Europe. But they...
I'm glad they did it.
Yeah, they said that's it, because another thing that a lot of these grocery stores were doing is they were pouring Clorox...
Bleach
in all
the dumpsters after they threw the food in there so that people couldn't eat the food.
Eat the food, and they were saying, right. Well, no, we're just doing that to cut down on germs or something. And they're like, no, you're making it so it's unedible.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the way grocery stores work is the selling mentality is you need to have a fully stocked shelf for people to purchase. If you only have three or four, somehow people feel guilty and they won't buy the last or the second to last piece. They'll save it for someone else. So they always have to make sure that it's overstocked. And when they overstock it, then they throw out that much more food. And I think in the United States, I was watching a program, we throw out, I think it's 780 football stadiums filled with food a year as a nation.
I saw that.
Yeah. I think it was on John Oliver's for HBO. He was talking about food waste.
Nobody will reach out in their own communities and say, hey, I have six restaurants here, or I have six grocery stores here. Go in and make friends with the manager. We'll pick up your food every night. Don't worry about where it's going to, because it's never going to know it's coming to you.
Yeah.
I mean, I did that one year with a mission. I had somebody at a big meat packing plant. He called and he says, I have all of this. And he probably had 500 pounds of roast beef.
Oh, my gosh.
And he says, the problem is nobody will take it. I said, you know what? I have an in. I called the chef down at the Midnight Mission. Mm-hmm. I called the CEO. I said, look, I know exactly where it comes from. I will put my name behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You can serve 3,500 plus meals. And they said, bring it.
Oh, my
gosh.
That
is unbelievable. That you were able to do that.
The guy was happy to give it.
Yeah.
But when you call around, they're skeptical.
Right.
Well, of course they're skeptical.
Well, because everybody's afraid to be sued.
Right.
We're in a very sue-happy
country.
But, I mean,
you have all these box foods that they're throwing out.
Yeah.
The macaronis and this and that. I don't care if it has an expiration date. Macaroni doesn't expire.
Right. Right.
No. And they have to put those on. And, you know, there was a study done on expiration dates saying that a lot of those are just frivolous. I mean, they're just put on there because they have to put it on there.
Because they have to, yeah. And
you
that sometimes you can eat the food up to 5 years later still.
I mean,
when have you seen a box of macaroni and cheese, unless it's been on your shelf for 25 years and a bug got in it, even go bad?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know.
Those are starches that you give to people that, you know, don't have a lot.
Exactly, because their bodies can hold on to that.
We need to be into more healthy eating, and I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to watch what these kids eat.
Yeah.
But there are so many fruits and vegetables and everything being thrown out every day.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. You know, I'm so happy that we have people like you, Lori, that join in our thoughts and efforts about getting out there and doing things, because a lot of times, and you might feel this way too from time to time, a lot of times we feel like there's just not enough of us doing this kind of thing. And if other people would just jump on board, it'd be so easy to make significant changes in our states.
Well, a lot of people won't jump on board because, for one, they don't want to be bothered, which is baloney.
Right,
because
lazy.
If it was your mother, your grandmother, your kid,
yeah,
somebody that's gone through something horrific,
yeah,
you would hope that they would put out of hand.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and everybody says, you know, there's not enough time. Okay. There's not enough time in life.
You make time for what you want.
Don't waste time. I mean, you know, I'm up sometimes 24 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
but you know what? There's certain things that just, I feel need to be done.
Yeah.
I don't care if you can give me an hour a day.
Yeah.
You put together, you know, a luncheon for your girlfriends or this or that. They want to bring a whole bunch of canned food. Take it to the local food pantry.
Right.
Do you know how many people that'll feed? And most of this stuff is probably sitting in your cupboards and you never use it.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I think that happens, and this is really interesting, and I've seen it with friends of mine, is that they're unsure of how to get involved. But once they do, and once they actually experience the gift of giving, and they receive from the other person either the joy of like, oh my God, thank you for bringing this, it definitely, without a doubt, shifts something within yourself. And I think it's just that more people just need to be exposed to it. And I think it's great that you took your niece there and the kids there for them to see it, because I said, once they see these types of things, if they go to a third world country, if they go to Skid Row, then all of a sudden they start to appreciate everything that they do have. Because let's say we live in a society that we are just expecting to have just so many things. We're like, well, I have to have the latest iPad and I need to have this.
You're in a society now that everybody thinks they're entitled.
Entitled. Exactly. That's entitlement.
Entitlement is baloney. I live in Calabasas. Big deal. I've taken a lot of my neighbors and a lot of the kids on Christmas Day. And at first they say, okay, we'll go down for a couple hours. Once they get there and they actually see what's going on and they can make a difference, it's like you said, it's night and day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I have customers that come in the auto shop all the time and they said, so what's your next project? You know, we want to jump in. And once they jump in, and then it just grows.
Sure.
And I think this is how you grow awareness.
It's contagious.
It's not about somebody, you know, pledging $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? If you get a group together and they put together $50 a piece and you have 100 people, you throw a whole event. Do you know what? That kind of money changes in lives.
Absolutely.
And you're not talking about a lot of money.
No. And, you know, it's just getting to a point where they can finally experience it. And once they do experience it, that's when shifts start to happen and thought patterns start to change. And again, you know, I always say lead by example, because you can give stuff a lot of lip service, but someone like yourself is leading by example. And I think that's what's great.
And you know
what?
And you have to.
Yeah.
They always say, you know, don't say you're going to try. And somebody said, well, I guess when I was at the Higher Experience the other day, which is a great group that I met, the guy said, if you're afraid, he goes, picture life as a rainbow. You started in the left-hand corner. He says, don't worry about how you're going to get over the top. Jump over to the right-hand corner and backtrack if you have to.
Right.
He says, you just jump in both feet and then worry about it.
Yeah, he goes, absolutely.
Because worrying about how to get over, he goes, when you struggle, most people will just give up. Jump in and worry about what a difference that you can make.
Yeah.
And they said, if you can only make a difference in one person's life, and that person will make a difference in one person's life,
mm-hmm.
you know, we'll be right where we need to be.
Exactly. And if that would have happened long ago, we wouldn't be where we are now.
Well, you know.
And unfortunately, it just keeps getting worse.
Right, right.
People need to keep their eyes and ears open. When you see things, you need to report them. I mean, that terrible disaster yesterday in San Bernardino.
Yeah.
At least one of the neighbors said, I think that's the SUV that, you know, stays in Redlands. And they went to their house. But, you know, we didn't bother to watch close enough. And you had to know a lot of this is going on.
Right.
You know, when we were kids, we used to have what they called neighborhood watch programs.
Right,
You knew all your neighbors.
Yep.
Your kids could play in the streets. We used to play in the streets till dark because every neighbor watched out for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Nobody knows their neighbors. You might wave at them as they, you know, they go down the street.
That's so true. I agree with that 100%, is that a lot of this society just doesn't really reach out as much as we did when we were kids.
I think they're afraid, but it's funny. You go to other states. I'm in Arizona once a month. I take my best friend's mother to see her sister that has Alzheimer's. It's 85. You walk down there, everybody on the streets tell you hello.
Yeah.
When I worked with some of the tire dealers, I was in North Carolina all the time. You walk down the street, strangers just tell you hello.
Yeah.
I do it now, and my dad will say, do you know that person? And I said, do I need to know that person?
Yeah, it's true, though.
If everybody would just, you know, not be afraid.
Yeah.
You know, John Quinones had that show on channel, I think it was Channel 7, Yeah. You know, what would you do if
what
this
would
happened?
You do? Yep, great show.
You don't walk by somebody that's getting beat up. You don't walk by somebody that's had their purse stolen. You don't walk by somebody that's beating on a kid.
Right, right. I
but
had
you
a
don't
friend.
Want to get involved?
You know, I had a friend yesterday that said to me, I had called him and he said, I'm right in the middle of something. Let me call you right back. I'm like, no problem. He calls me back and he said, I was walking down the sidewalk and this guy was beating on his wife. He was upset with her. He was yelling at her and he was punching her. And I said, what did you do? He said, I got in between the two of them and said, I'm bigger than she is. Why don't you punch on me? And he was in the streets of Atlanta. He goes, it was a natural reaction for me to jump in there and say, look, he said, I told the guy, if I let you hit her again, it's the same as you hitting my mother. My mother taught me that boys never raise their hands to girls.
Right, and he probably saved her life.
Yeah, totally, totally. The guy ended up leaving and going in one direction. He put the woman in a cab and got her to safety. But, you know, how rare is that for people to jump in? I was like, wow, that's really
because
great.
No, nobody wants to get involved, but if it was your mother or your daughter or your granddaughter,
you'd jump in.
I mean, I've always said, you know, kids that get molested, this and that, and the parents that shoot the molester that's in court.
Yeah.
I see it.
Yeah.
Because if I was sitting there and this guy's talking about how he molested my children, I'd be right over the thing and I'd be more than happy to go to jail because, you know what, he needs to be taken care of.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't say that I disagree with that.
And I don't want vigilantes. And yeah, you don't want vigilantes on the streets, but you know what? There's a right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
respect. And nobody seems to have mutual respect anymore.
Yeah, the, now it's all the code of, you know, we got a code and cover each other. And but it's not a code that puts a positive vibe on anything. You know, it's not a code that
it needs
is
to be a positive
loving.
Code. You don't want to be there and you're upset, walk away.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many things that you can do to live a positive life and have people around you succeed and flourish. And it just doesn't take much other than you taking the time to be concerned about somebody other than yourself. It's just going outside of you, you know?
I mean, and you get in with like VIP, which is violence intervention, and some of these others, and you see what these women go through.
Yeah.
And granted, a lot of them go back because they think that's the only life they know. You give them a little self-esteem and all of a sudden you stand up for yourself. Well, guess what? You're going to step up for the next woman, too.
That's right. And pay it forward. Exactly.
That's where I got it from.
So how do
and
people...
Thought, if you could pay it forward, you know, things could be good.
How do people get a hold of you, and how do they learn more about what you're doing, and how do they get involved?
Pay It Forward for a Better LA will launch probably mid-January.
Okay.
My email is my name, L. Neville. N-E-V as in Victor, I-L-L-E at gmail.com.
Okay.
They can email me whatever they'd like, if they have an idea, if they'd like to add something to what we're already going to do, or if you have a charity that you've thought about starting, but, you know, you don't know how to quite, you know, you don't want a 501(c) in a big charity, but yet you want to do some events to help your neighborhood, you want to help whatever you want to help, send it to us. We're going to be open for everything. I'm putting a board together right now. If you'd like to sit on our board and just manage whatever entity you're bringing.
I think
I'm going to try to put together a pretty good-sized board. I have a very, very good friend of mine, Diana Kelly, which I believe you guys know.
We love Diana.
She is going to be one of the chairs of my board, and she's out there being philanthropic, you know, in every which way.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And tell us really quick the events that you do have coming up. I know you have one today, which is Sunday.
We have coming up on December 18th, which is a Friday, from 12:30 to 3:30. I'm going to launch the Pay It Forward for a Better LA Reading and Learning Center, which is being dedicated to all the work at Bookends. A lot of the books that were donated from them before they closed their sector, which we're going to start up what they were doing.
Excellent.
It'll be just like a luncheon. Everybody can come. There'll be some videos. I believe that I may have the honor of you guys playing there.
Yes, you will. We will be performing.
There will be four or five authors there. There'll be a few children's authors there, which I'll get a list together, and I'll put out on social media. They're building a Pay It Forward for a Better LA Facebook page, so it'll probably be up by next week. So I can put everything on. We're going to hope at the end of May that we can do some type of 5K run walk and some kind of kids dash. In September, we're going to try to bring back a few of the other little tournaments we had around town. Scrabble, hopefully, or something that's going to be similar where you could get the communities together, the adults together.
Right.
You know, and just have a fun night.
That sounds like a blast as well. Well, we definitely have a lot of really great contributors that listen to the show. And we want to encourage everybody listening to help us pay it forward with Lori. And if you can't reach her for any reason, reach out to us. You can always find us and we can make sure you guys get connected. But we here at the station are supporting her and her efforts 1,000%. And we encourage you guys to join us as well.
Thank you. And I think if everybody just kind of jumps in, even if they just do a little, it's going to make such a difference. And in this time and the way the world is right now,
absolutely,
you know, we still look out for each other, you know, and if there's a problem, you get on the phone. You know, this is what 911 is for.
Yeah, we can make a change.
You feel something is wrong in your neighborhood or you feel something is happening, that's
react.
The change that we need to make.
Yep, react.
If we have, we have to be reactive, but on the other hand, we need to teach everybody some independence. And give them some self-esteem. If you can do it, the next person can do it.
Amen,
and
sister.
And nobody said anybody's going to be rich. But you know what? We all have the right to live a good life.
We'll be rich in our hearts, and that's what's important.
Yeah, I was going to say, absolutely. The difference is that when you once give to someone and you get to that feeling, it goes way beyond any monetary
It's contagious.
Wealth.
It's lovely.
Yeah, just experience it.
It's very contagious, and especially the fact that, you know, we're going to run year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody has any ideas, if they would like to run this, this, or that event, just let us know.
Perfect.
You have something going on in your community, or you have something that's not going on in your community that, you know, you would try to like to pull the community together?
Mm-hmm.
You know, let us know. We'll get the businesses in your community and this and that behind everybody. Because it's a win-win for everybody. You see the businesses jump in, you're better off, you know, shopping at their stores.
Absolutely. Well, Lori, we're so happy to have you with us today, and we'd love you to come back very often and keep telling us all the great things you're doing.
I would love to.
We love to.
Like I said, the Facebook page will be up next week. You guys will be on it, and thank you for performing on the 18th.
Absolutely.
And it will go viral. We do have Channel 5 coming. We have Channel 11 coming, which has always been very, very big for the Midnight Mission.
Nice.
I'm hoping Dick Van Dyke comes and a lot of the other big supporters, Norm Harris, will come, and we'll go from there.
Excellent. Thank you again, Lori.
Thank you very much.
So every week we like to dedicate a song to our guests, and this week it is a song I chose called Best Case Scenario, because Lori's out there and she's really creating the best case scenario in everything that she does. This is by Saint Tone, Best Case Scenario.
Best case gonna blow your mind when your focus gets flipped from dirt to blue sky. Best case gonna blow your mind when your focus gets flipped from dirt to blue sky. Best case gonna blow your mind when your focus gets flipped. Give me that best case scenario.
I wanna hear it full blast in stereo. I wanna see my glass start to overflow with that best case scenario.
I just won't quit. And I just won't quit. Oh, no, no.
Give me that best case scenario.
Where the rights out to the wrongs. Where love has come to conquer all. With that best case scenario.
Shit that lets the bright light in. What you say? thinking gonna make a change. Positive thoughts to come to rearrange how I'm feeling, what I'm doing. BCS has come to start proving me wrong. But all my doubts, mind over matter, and how to get out from under these negative thoughts, these old beliefs that don't walk the walk. I am blessed, I am here, no time for fear.
No time for fear. That best case scenario.
And I just won't quit. I just won't quit. Yeah.
Best case gonna blow your mind when your focus gets flipped from dirt to blue sky. Best case gonna blow your mind when your focus gets flipped from dirt to blue sky. Best case gonna blow your mind when your focus gets flipped when your focus gets.
Hey, once again, that was Best Case Scenario by Saint Tone. Some other positive music, be sure to go to www.sainttone.com.
You know, if you're looking for a little spark on your any day, you can always go back to humanitarianradio.com and check out any of our previous shows. We do keep them on there so that we can inspire you to find some good news for your soul. Do something great for someone else in your world.
Yeah, and if you know of a story, or if you know someone that should be on our show, by all means, connect with us on Facebook at Humanitarian Radio, or go to our website, humanitarianradio.com, and reach out to us. Let us know any good news that you have out there that you want to share with the world.
Make it a good week.
We'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.